Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British Soap Institution, Coronation Street. I'm Michael.
And I'm Gemma.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 9th and the 14th of September 2012. So this is episode 5 and we've been doing the podcast for over a month now. What do you think? How's it been going so far for you?
It's very different having to take notes all the time.
What, when we're watching the episode?
Yeah. I know. Sit there with bits of paper everywhere.
Yeah, and with all the episodes there's been this week, there's been an awful lot of notes.
I haven't got any space anywhere.
Yeah, but it's been really good doing the podcast. We have been talking about it for a couple of months back, sort of early in summer, late spring, we talked about doing a Coronation Street podcast. So finally got around to doing it and been going a month. It's been going really well.
I hope you like it.
Me?
No, the listeners.
Yeah.
are you smiling? I hope so.
Of course it's been getting more popular on the internet as well. We've been getting more listeners, which is fantastic. More people following us on Facebook, Twitter, and I want to say thank you to all the Twitter followers that have retweeted some of our messages and been promoting us as well.
Yeah, that's always very nice.
Yeah, thank you very much. We were, the first few episodes are over 100 downloads now, so
yay.
A bit of a milestone. I don't think Ricky Gervais is going to be quaking in his boots yet.
Well, we better not start a Coronation Street podcast, that's all I'm saying, because you'll have to come up against us.
Right. Anyway, lots of episodes to talk about this week. Let's get started.
Okay, so now it's time for Street Talk, which is where we talk about what's happened on the street this week. There's been plenty of storylines, because how many episodes have we watched this week?
Many. Seven.
Today we're going to be talking about seven. So the main storylines, we've got the surrogacy storyline, which involves Izzy, Gary, Owen.
It seems that
everyone's in on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's been lots of developments there with, at the beginning, Chesney and Katie were still involved, and then we wind up with them getting uninvolved, and towards the end of the week, we've now got Tina and Tommy involved in the surrogacy storyline.
Yeah, so lots of developments there to talk about later.
Yep, and the next one, which is linked to that, is Tommy and Tina's money woes, which just gets more and more hilarious.
Yeah,
or tragic, depending on your point of view.
Yeah, before we kind of link that to Kirsty and Tyrone, but it's kind of developed into definitely its own storyline now.
Yeah, so Kirsty's had the baby, so that's another aspect of the Tommy and Tina story. And then we've also got a little bit at the beginning of the week about Ryan, Michelle, Tracy, and
Stuffed Marrows.
More on that later. We've got some small other storylines involving Rhea and Jason, Eileen and Paul, and we've got some new characters that have come onto the street. So there's a new storyline today with Lloyd and a new character that's involved with him, and also today with Gloria, Cliff turns up.
Yeah, you might do.
So there's a bit of Gloria storyline as well. So those are the main storylines that we're going to be discussing.
So surrogacy then, so that's been off the boil for a few weeks. We said we thought it had come back again for Katie's 18th birthday.
Which it did.
On Sunday. She doesn't look 18. She doesn't look 18 to me.
She's
young, much younger.
Izzy had been guilt buying her lots of clothes.
Yeah.
But Chesney was simmering because he was invited to South Africa.
Yeah, Scylla said that she's got this new rich fella over.
Did they
in
ever
South
actually
Africa?
Say Scylla? I don't think they did. Chesney just said my mum.
Oh, did they? Well,
I don't remember.
Scylla to me. Yeah, so they, and then Gary and Izzy were like, oh, you can't go over to South Africa.
You can't fly because you'll be pregnant. Let's just think about this. So it's September now. You can't fly in your third trimester. They're quite optimistic about Katie's chances of getting pregnant, considering that they only just went to the clinic to get the balls rolling.
Yeah.
In September. So,
Well, it's not a surprise, really, that Chesney was seething about it, getting a bit annoyed about it.
I would be very irritated.
Yeah, so when they got to the party, all they were talking about was this baby that doesn't even exist yet, just a twinkle in Gary and Izzy's eye, and then Chesney kind of explodes and, well, says that he's
fed up a bit.
Yeah, there's nothing to do with his to do with them.
So at the fertility clinic, they have a little chat with a fertility lady, I've called her. She probably has a better job title than that. But she's worried about Katie being a surrogate for the wrong reasons, and legally Katie would be the mother.
I didn't know that was the rule, did you?
No, I think that's the point of the storyline, is to teach us ignorant people about surrogacy. So Katie would have to have a court order to change the parentage to Izzy and Gary. Gary would be the father.
Yeah, he'd be the father, but Izzy wouldn't legally be the mother until it was registered, and that would take a few months. So it would be a couple of months, and the baby wouldn't legally be Izzy's.
Yeah, so they have this conversation at the fertility clinic. And they go to Katie's party, and Gary starts up an argument by saying, "Oh, you can't drink when you're pregnant."
Yeah.
and that doesn't go down well with Chesney.
No, he reaches boiling point, and
Izzy goes, "Oh, I don't really want the baby anymore." That seems to be Izzy's response to everything at the moment. "Oh, no, forget it then, I'm not having a baby."
Yeah, she's not very resilient. She gives up pretty easily.
So she says she can't let them go through with it. Faye insists on singing happy birthday anyway and brings out a cake.
Yeah.
They all have an argument. And Izzy tells Gary that she doesn't want to go out with him anymore.
Yeah, ultimatum. She seems to be a bit of an ultimatum queen. Only a few weeks ago she was saying, "Oh, I'll never speak to you again, Dad." Next episode they were talking again. "Oh, Gary, I think we're going to split up. It's for your own good. I'm never going to see you again. I'm going to ignore your phone calls." And then next episode, "Oh, I love you again." They're back together again. So she's a bit of a drama queen.
Yeah, I mean, Owen actually isn't quite sure whether Izzy should be dumping Gary over this.
Yeah.
And then he does his own research about surrogacy, and guess what? You don't actually have to have your sister do it. It can be anyone.
Yeah.
Any random person off the street.
Yeah, as long as they live in your street, then they can have a baby.
No, it doesn't have to be geographically linked. But he tells them that he'll pay for it.
Yeah.
And so Izzy and Gary get back together and start going on the laptop looking up surrogacy.
Yeah.
So that's the storyline as far as they're concerned at the moment.
And until Tommy and Tina come along.
Involved.
So let's go to the beginning of the Tommy and Tina and storyline, and we'll merge them together when we get to the proper episode. So Tommy's back from hospital now. Everyone hates Tina. They think that Kirsty is a saint. And when Julie and Brian, they buy the flat, so Jason is now on their side. He wants to get rid of Tina and Tommy, trying to kick them out. So everyone's against Tommy and Tina at the moment, feeling
Tina's
a bit
crying.
Sorry for them. Yeah, Tommy crying by the end of the week this week as well.
Tina shouts at Kirsty.
Yeah, well, Kirsty, she was a bit of a git, wasn't she? Said, I told you I'd get you, and that's what makes Tina snap. And
what did she do?
She gave her a bit of a nudge, a bit of a slap. Or was that a punch? I don't remember.
I think she shoved her. She just shoved her into a table.
Yeah, hurt her back.
Oh, she grabbed her by the arm and pushed her.
To be honest, Kirsty had it coming.
I think that no one likes Kirsty.
No, when we were looking at Twitter while this was going on, the vast majority of the comments at the time were, "I want to punch Kirsty, I want to slap Kirsty,
or
I hate Kirsty."
I love Tina.
But the thing is, you've got to love a villain. I think Kirsty's great.
Kirsty. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
She's so sneaky.
That's
and evil.
Well, just these smiles she gives when she knows that everyone's believing her and not Tina.
She's gonna fall from grace at some point, but not yet.
Anyway, as we know on Coronation Street, you can't just go into labour. You've got to have something that sends you into labour, some drama to set you into labour. So this was it for Kirsty. And then she has her baby
in the pub. She gets taken to the back room, and there she gives birth.
Thank goodness Marcus was there.
Well, no, I think you'll find that Gloria was the main person.
Oh, yeah, she was good at commenting about excellent dilation.
I wouldn't let her be hovering around that area. If I was having a baby, there should only be a midwife down that end.
Well, she did call around to hold her hand in the end, didn't she? And it's a girl, a baby girl, the very quick birth.
Yes. Gloria had a lovely time watching. The ambulance turns up at the same time as Tyrone does.
Yeah, because what was he doing?
I don't remember.
Wasn't he with trying to make up with Tommy at the time?
Yeah, I think so.
Going against Kirsty's wishes.
So when the paramedics come, Marcus lets slip that Kirsty has a back injury, and Tyrone finds out Tina does it. Tina tries to say sorry, but Tyrone is just a bit annoyed. And then Rita shouts at her, Stella threatens to sack her.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't blame Stella for threatening to sack Tina because her employee punched one of the punters in the pub.
Yeah, so, and then Rita yells at Tina as well.
Yeah.
And then, so Tina decides to yell at Tommy for ruining everything, and she says the relationship's screwed. So at the end of that episode, baby has arrived, but Tina's been shunned.
But I have to say, I'm a bit of a softie, and it was nice to see Tyrone in the hospital, cuddling the baby, saying, "Oh, you've mended everything."
Yeah, Tyrone thinks the baby's gonna fix everything.
Yeah, with everything that's gone wrong between him and Kirsty, he thinks it's all over now. Baby's gonna come along, and Kirsty's just gonna be the perfect mum, and they'll be the perfect happy family. What do you think? Is that gonna...
I think definitely for sure, because everyone knows that if anything's wrong with your relationship, you should definitely have a baby.
Yeah. The glue that binds people together. Yeah. And the baby.
So by the next episode, which I suppose was Wednesday.
No, we're on Monday now. Tina and Tommy, wasn't that when they decided that they wanted to make up with Kirsty? They wanted to bury the hatchet with her.
Well, they still haven't picked a name by the next episode. Tina and Tommy are shouted at by Jason, so they buy a giant teddy.
Which is obviously the most sensible thing to do when you haven't got any money.
Yeah, how much did that thing cost? It was enormous.
I don't know. I used to work in Clinton Cards, and
that's where they sell.
That's where they sell
novelty gifts like that.
Yeah, and we used to have things like that, and I think it was about £100. Yeah. I reckon it was about £100.
So it doesn't go down well. Kirsty isn't happy about it. They get kicked out. Jason doesn't have any sympathy for them either.
No, but at least by the end of that episode, Rita did. She kind of despairs of Tina a bit, but they have their heart to heart on Maxine's bench.
Well, she tells Tina to get over herself, basically.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be done about it. She's just got to move on.
Yeah, I was wondering at some point whether Rita would offer to pay for, well, to give Tina a bit of money, because
no one cares about. I tell you what, they have dropped so many hints, haven't they? Oh, I'm so great. I don't have any money. Wasn't worked.
Well, it worked in the end, didn't it? Owen picked up it.
Well, yeah.
So they had their argument, then they're back together again, Tina and Tommy. And they decide they're going to work through it. Yep. And Tommy's off looking for a job again.
Yep, but he's going to be taken to court if he can't cough up the money for the pizza delivery van.
Hmm.
Which makes Owen's talking to Tina about the fact the surrogacy's off with Katie, and Tina makes a joke about having the baby to get some cash. And that was the end of that episode.
That gets him thinking.
But also in that episode, we find out the name of the baby. So what would you have called the little darling Sprog?
I don't know.
Tyronette.
Ruby's all right.
I think they should have gone for something a bit more modern, like, I don't know, Sparky Dobbs. That sounds like a cool name.
It sounds like a dog's name.
Ruby's fine.
It's not been a Ruby in Corrie
before.
If
you're called Ruby, I think it's a fabulous name.
I think we can all agree that it's better than Roy's suggestion of Bronwyn.
Bronwyn Dobbs sounds okay.
No, let's just stick with Ruby. I think we've talked enough about the name.
This is probably why they couldn't decide. There are many names to pick from.
Yeah.
So we just finished watching Coronation Street tonight, which is the Friday, 14th of September, and quite a lot developed today with Tina and Tommy storyline, which then merged into the surrogacy storyline. So at the beginning of the episode, Tommy was actually crying and saying that he was ashamed of himself and he hopes his dead relatives can't see him, which they probably can't.
Well, Vera came back to Jack, didn't they?
They'll
probably come back together and sort him out.
Oh, he's a silly sod, don't he? Yeah, I can just imagine that. So Owen asked Tina to consider becoming the surrogate after their discussion.
Yeah, and there was a bit of a bartering.
There was a haggling. I've written down exactly what happens. He offers her $5,000. She tells him it's not enough. She asks for $30,000. He says no, but offers $10,000, then moves up to $12,000. Then he says $15,000. She says no. But then she leans over the balcony like Juliet and says, oh, well, I did it for $15,000.
Yeah.
But she did do her sums and decided on $30,000. So I don't know why she's doing it for the bargain basement price of £15,000.
No, because you've been doing a bit of research into surrogacy laws and what you can and can't pay for and what the money goes to.
I think every young woman who's had to put herself through university has had a little look on the internet to find out how much she could get for selling her eggs or being a surrogate mum.
Did you?
No. So you can't actually give somebody money for being a surrogate in the UK. It's actually illegal. You can give them money for reasonable expenses, which include clothes, travel expenses and loss of earnings. So, but really, you should be, he should be paying, Owen should be paying Tina anyway, because she'll be on maternity leave and you have to pay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, there's not really much of a way around this apart from her to ask for elaborate expenses. But at the same time, she hasn't thought to herself, this £15,000 also got to cover all of the money that she's going to have to pay out to become pregnant, and maternity clothes, and special equipment.
Transport, and, you said, was...
Yeah, to and from the hospital. She's going to have to take off lots of time for going to classes and things and tests, and she's going to... Tommy's going to have to take time off as well if he supports her in this.
Well, yeah.
Which he probably won't do. Well, maybe he will, but... So she's not really thought it through, I don't think. And £15,000, quite apart from the fact that you can't actually be paid to be a surrogate, I don't know whether they look into this, though. I don't think the government particularly cares whether this goes on. I think it's more a case of protecting vulnerable women from becoming baby farms rather than...
Yeah.
And I suppose it's quite a distasteful thing to think about, but buying somebody's womb for rent 9 months.
So anyway, Tommy obviously doesn't know about this. Tina's accepted to donate her womb without even telling him, a little bit like how Katie did the other week without telling Chesney.
And that went so well for everybody.
Yeah, so Faye finds out.
She finds out at the same time that Izzy and Gary find out, when Owen sort of goes, ta-da, I found your womb, it's attached to this woman.
Yeah, Izzy and Gary were a bit shocked.
They looked very nonplussed about it, didn't they?
Yeah, but then I think once Gary realised, he was sort of jumped on the chance.
Yeah.
He seems a bit desperate. He'll do anything to have a baby. Somebody on Twitter says that he'd even let Norris be the surrogate if it was possible.
Well, yeah, fine. So Tina confesses she's just doing it for the money, really. And
fair dues.
Izzy's not happy about that, to be honest. And she starts worrying things are moving too fast. And she also sort of has a chat with everybody and says that she's not sure about Tina and thinks she's a bit unstable.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to say, I think she's a bit chubby, but...
So did I.
So Faye's spying on this conversation and lets it slip to Tommy as he hobbles off the bus that Tina's going to get a load of money for being a surrogate.
Tommy didn't believe her. He took a lot of convincing that she wasn't just making it up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust Faye, to be honest, with that
really,
track record.
No. Well, it comes out of the blue completely, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tommy goes into the pub and starts having a go at her about smoking and saying, oh, it's a good job that you can't smoke in pubs anymore. You got knocked up by someone.
Yeah. Does he seem to think that she's pregnant already?
I don't know. But he tells her...
He understands how it works.
No. Well, he can look it up on the internet like we did. Yeah. So he also tells her she can't drink any beer, which seems to be quite a common thread with them. Anyone who's talking about getting pregnant on Coronation Street immediately is told you can't be drinking alcohol.
Yeah,
straight
they
go away.
Down the Rovers.
And
by the end of the episode, he says he's not going to support her if she goes through with it.
He has a right go at her about it because he wanted to have a baby with her.
Yeah,
and she wouldn't have
their own baby, but she's perfectly happy to have someone else's. So again, I can see Tommy's point.
He's quite hurtful. He tells her that she's selling her body. Goes off, and then Tommy goes off to see Izzy and Gary and tells them they're taking advantage of the fact that Tina's broke and needs the money. And he also describes surrogacy as wrong and weird, which then makes Izzy goes, oh, well, I'm not doing it then. Forget it. I'm not doing it. I don't want to have a baby anymore.
Yeah. Do you agree with Tina? Is Tommy right to be annoyed? Should he be able
to
have
Tommy's
some say in this?
Well, not just annoyed. He tells her that he's going to dump her if she goes ahead, which really, either way, Tina's worries are now over. Either she gets rid of the bloke that's costing her thousands of pounds, or she finds a way out of the situation by earning the money herself.
That's win-win.
Women's got to do what a woman's got to do, okay? If the man can't stump up the cash, then she's got to go out and earn her own money.
Right.
Well, okay, I have a hard time with the fact that Chesney and Tommy both decide that it's their right to decide what their girlfriends or wives do with their
look. At the end of the day, it is it's going to be the wives or girlfriends that make the final decision. But Chesney and Tommy have got something. They're right. They're in the right. They should say something.
Obviously, it's a completely fake situation because it's all handled for the drama. Because in real life, you would have said, "What do you think of this idea?"
Yeah,
and you would have had a discussion about it. But what has happened is, both of these women have gone sneaking around behind the man's back and made decisions before. Well, they kind of have been pressurised into giving definite answers to situations where perhaps they wouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And then the guy is completely overreacted to just make a dramatic scene.
Yeah.
I think you probably, in real life, you would just be a bit hurt and confused. Why are you saying this without speaking to me first?
Yeah.
In general, I don't think it's down to your man to tell a woman what to do with her own body.
No, but if you decided you were going to be a surrogate to someone and you didn't want to tell me, then...
Yeah, but in this situation, neither of them deliberately hid the information. They just didn't
They hadn't got around to telling them.
Well, yeah. I mean, it happened in a few hours between...
She would have told him nothing.
Yeah.
Because so, they're in it together.
And the way that you broach the subject is obviously going to be delicately done.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, because you're not going to win this argument.
So, Ryan and Tracy, what's been going on there this week?
Not a lot's been going on.
No,
It's mostly on Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're still working at the kebab shop, snogging over the counter, a bit gross. Dev didn't like it. He reminded Tracy that she was still on trial.
Trial
period, of course. And then
they had a lot of cash in the register.
Yeah, so he was happy. That was.
But where are these customers coming from? Because if I saw that, if I walked into a kebab shop and saw that, I would walk straight back out again.
Yeah, I don't know. And then that all led to an awkward kind of double date with Tracy and Ryan and Steve and Michelle in the flat that night, and they were both trying to outgross out each other almost with
having snogging sessions.
Steve and Michelle escape to the pub, and then they decide, actually, we've just been kicked out of our own house. Go back and start doing the noisy hoovering and ironing to disturb
them. I don't know what the heck Michelle was doing with the ironing board. Does she do so little ironing that she truly believes it makes a loud enough noise to disturb somebody who's watching television?
Yeah, the hissing noise.
Goodness.
But anyway, that it kind of worked because Tracy and Ryan went off and went back over to Tracy's house. And then the next day, Deirdre comes back.
Deirdre's back!
And then they have a hilarious dinner party. I thought this was the highlight of my week, the stuffed marrow.
Was it?
Yeah.
I can make you some stuffed marrow.
No, it sounds gross. That was so funny about it. I couldn't imagine anything worse. It just reminded me back of, remember when Ken was having the affair with what's her face on the boat? And then she was cooking this delicious soup, and then back at home, Deirdre was plopping out a horrible gelatinous tin of soup into the pan. Just reminded me of Deirdre not being...
I'll have you know that stuffed marrow can actually be quite delicious.
But this one looked disgusting from the looks of everyone around the dinner table.
Ken was dodging it again, wasn't he? He was upstairs, refusing to come down.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit weird.
Obviously he wasn't there for that scene.
The library was closed.
So he went and sat upstairs and refused to come down for even toast.
Yeah, when Deirdre was wafting a toast at him, he wouldn't come down. And then Deirdre got drunker and drunker as the night went on.
Yeah, well, first of all, the dinner party just consisted of Tracy and Ryan. Mm-hmm. Then Steve comes in with...
Amy.
And so they join them for dinner. And then Michelle comes in.
Yeah.
So the whole family is there.
Nobody really enjoying this stuff marrow.
I don't know what kind. It must have been a monstrous marrow. That's all I can say. Because if another six people came to dinner, they would go hungry.
Yeah.
Found her.
Deirdre getting more and more drunk, reminiscing about Samir, her old toy boy, because of Tracy, the huge age gap between Ryan and Tracy, which I'm glad was addressed.
Yeah, she is a bit hypocritical about the age difference, because as Tracy points out, there's a big difference between her and Ken.
Yeah, yeah.
Deirdre, but she said that doesn't count.
No, Deirdre doesn't really seem to be interested in guys her own age. But it was quite nice for her to mention Samir, because that was one of the first storylines I ever remember watching back when I first started watching it in the early 90s. That was all the whole Deirdre Samir thing that was going there. So it was a good bit of nostalgia for me there. And that was about it for that storyline.
Yeah, that ended there.
What else has been going on?
Well,
Gloria been going around getting on everybody's nerves pretty much.
She was supposed to be tidying up the pub because the brewery was going to come.
Mm.
to inspect them. I don't know what they're going to inspect them over, but
something she got Carl to come round with while Stella was away at the health spa.
She was eyeing up all the blokes in the pub, and she went after Dennis a few times, but Rita sort of warned her
off.
Yeah,
and Rita was also a bit peeved because Gloria had taken the hot pot off the menu.
Yeah, that was a shocking twist.
And Gloria said, "You are what you eat," to Rita, so you called her a hot pot.
Well, that's not really an offensive term.
Maybe it is up north in Weatherfield.
If you live up north, please tell us if hot pot is a rude way to describe a woman of a certain age. Maybe she's got crusty potatoes up top. The reason that she has to enlist Carl is because she's packed Stella off to a day spa.
Yeah.
Stella was getting a bit annoyed because Gloria was stealing her perfume and rearranging her pans.
Yeah, so Gloria comes, again, I'm confused. Stella comes back at the end, realises that Carl's in there, and chucks her out. So then
tells Gloria to go back to Spain.
Yeah, but instead she
goes
over to Leanne.
And so Gloria says, "Fine, I'm leaving," and then goes straight to Leanne, begs for somewhere to live.
Yeah, and that didn't last long. The next morning, Leanne was sick of her hogging at the bathroom.
Yeah, so she's moved in with Leanne and Nick, so she's hanging around in the bookies.
we discover that she has the sight.
Yeah, she's got psychic powers. And
she can pick a winning horse for Lloyd.
Yeah, Lloyd gets a winner.
But poor Kirk, always unlucky.
Yeah,
his horse comes last.
Yeah, so Leanne begs Stella to take Gloria back, which she does.
She does eventually by the end of the week. There was all the hoo-ha in the bistro with Cliff turning up into
New character!
Episode. New character alert, played by...
Oh, yes, he is played by Brian Miller, who I could find out nothing.
So he's not been in very much before then. I didn't recognise him.
There's a lot of actors called Brian Miller, though.
Oh, are there? What did you think of him in first impressions?
He was a bit shifty and sort of rabbity-like, wasn't he?
He didn't seem like the type that would
hanker after Gloria?
No, I think he definitely seems like somebody that Gloria could control, and she'd wear the trousers in that relationship.
Gloria doesn't need a man to have a discussion. She just needs somebody to listen to her for hours on end and sort of nod.
Yeah, he's obviously been brought in as a comedy character.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's going to stay in it or not. But
he has interesting revelations about Gloria.
Yeah, all her story about being on the run from the mob.
She has her own bar.
Yeah, she actually just set her dry cleaners on fire.
It wasn't her dry cleaner, she just worked there.
Oh, yeah, the dry cleaner she worked on fire, so she's on the run from that.
Gail finds out and confronts Gloria about it. And then Gail makes Gloria go crawling back to Stella to apologise, and that's how we end it.
Yeah, it was nice to see a bit more Gail this week. She hasn't been in it for a while.
Yeah, she's not really got her own personality or storyline
at
the moment.
This is what I just wanted to talk about quickly. Both Gail and Deirdre seem to just be comedy characters at the moment, don't you think? I can't imagine them in a serious storyline anymore, but when I think back to some of the more dramatic storylines that they've both had, Gail obviously with the whole Richard Hillman saga and many other things in the past, Deirdre...
And the prison thing.
Yeah,
Weatherfield 1.
And all the stuff with Ken and Mike. It's kind of a shame that they've just turned them into the funny old women almost.
Yeah.
I do hope that they give them a proper storyline again, and they're not just there in the background. Kirk, who comes in, says something stupid, and then
wanders back out
goes off again, because I think they deserve more than that. Let's really quickly, because we're looking at the time already, talk about Miri and Jason deciding to move in together.
It seems like Marcus is still hovering around, and we definitely think something's going to happen with Marcus and Miri.
Yeah. Eileen and Paul haven't decorated yet.
Wow, I haven't even got any notes about...
Did they have Lloyd round to dinner, or Eileen was cooking a dinner and Paul went off and had a game of darts with Lloyd?
Oh yeah, poor old Lloyd. Chummy
chum. Yeah, poor old Lloyd, bit lonely, got no mates.
Yeah, because he won some money, didn't he? He won the money
but
at Gloria.
No, nobody to spend it with.
Yeah, he wants to go to a gig.
Yeah, he wants to see the Oldham Folk Outlet in tonight's episode. Nobody wanted to go with him, not Steve, not Dev, but he meets Mandy.
He meets Mandy.
Another new character alert.
New character, woo!
Played by...
She's called Mandy Kamara, and she's played by Pamela Nomventi.
As seen in?
She's been seen in Lewis, EastEnders, and Crossroads.
I don't watch any of those programmes.
No, she's only been in one episode, or she hasn't really had any starring roles.
No, but it looks like she's going to play a bigger role in this. And I have to say, I'm really pleased that Lloyd's storyline at last. There hasn't been anything for Lloyd since Cheryl, and that was back
called Cheryl.
Cheryl, that was like over a year and a half ago. Yeah. He's been on the sidelines for so long. Really good that he's got his own storyline because he's a great character.
So we find out some little tidbits about Mandy. She seems to have been married to Johnny.
Yeah.
He's dead of a heart attack.
Yeah.
And Lloyd claims that she was the love of his life.
Yeah, so they had this affair earlier on back in the 80s or whenever
they had an affair or he wanted to instigate one. But she was married, and for some reason she still doesn't want anything to do with him.
No, they were hitting it off really nicely until he says, oh, we'll have to meet up sometime, and then she realises, I know what the reason is. I've seen what happens next week. I'm not telling you. We don't have spoilers on this podcast.
No, I know, but I was going to say, if I'm thinking for any reason, it's going to be because she's got a baby, and it turns out it's his, and there was an affair that she had with him while she was still married, and she can't bear the guilt because now it's even worse because her husband's dead.
All I can say is the storyline is going to develop further next week.
Yeah, I've got no idea. I don't actually read spoilers. Michael sees a spoiler somewhere.
I try not to see a picture of Coronation Street
and instantly has to read the header next to it. I don't even look at the soap magazines.
I know, they just catch my eye.
No, well, the cooking magazines are what I look at.
Right, that'll do for Street Talk this week.
Oh, wait a minute, though.
Oh, what?
Is there any... Oh, Beth and Kirk.
Yeah.
Something's brewing with Beth and Kirk.
We'll see what happens there.
And that's it.
That is it for Street Talk this week. A lot happened this week, lots of episodes. Let's get on to character profile. We wanted to do a short character profile this week because we knew that the episode discussion would go on for long. So we chose Tina, who's been a very big character this week. She's been in it all the way through. I thought she's not been in it very long, not much to talk about there, but actually she's had quite a couple of big storylines since she first came in. But she's played by Michelle Keegan, of course. Character was born 18th of February 1991. Father Joe McIntyre, mother Anna McIntyre. She first appeared in Corrie on the 7th of January 2008, and she has been in nearly 600 episodes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's really funny when you look back on about how a character was introduced compared to how they are now, and looking back on the relationships that they've had. So the reason that she was introduced, Tina, was to be David.
Yeah, at the time, David was total wild child. He was turning into a bit of a villain, and the Corrie bosses wanted to soften him up a bit. They wanted to show his nice side, so they brought Tina in to be his girlfriend.
And she was so popular that they've kept her on, and also included other characters.
Yeah, developed her, brought Joe in as her dad. So when she first appeared in 2008, she was 16. One of her first scenes, or maybe her very first scene, was arguing with Gail at the medical centre.
Yeah, when Gail used to have a proper job.
Yeah.
Instead of just hanging around the bar at the bistro.
Bottoming the bar.
Yeah.
David liked the fact that Tina was arguing with his mum. He liked that, so he starts dating her. She moves in with the Platts fairly soon. And before you know it, she's pregnant.
She's pregnant, that's right. It's not going to be her first child that she has.
No, I'd forgotten about the abortion storyline completely.
Does anyone know that she was pregnant, or did she have an abortion before it was shown? She must have had an abortion very early.
Yeah, I don't know how...
So, is it going to come out...
Yeah, does Tommy know?
No, probably not.
And is it going to affect the surrogacy?
No, nobody's mentioned this, so it could be an interesting avenue for it to go down.
Scriptwriters indeed even remember.
If they listen to this podcast, they might remember.
Yeah. So anyway, she aborted this baby with Gail's support behind David's back.
Yeah.
And then when David found out, he pushed Gail down the stairs. That was a memorable episode. And then he went on his rampage. At that time, Joe was brought in, started dating Gail, much to David and Tina's disgust. At the time, she was working in the kebab shop in the cabin. And it's been quite nice seeing the relationship develop between her and Rita. Rita's been a bit like a grand to her.
Yeah. So she was on and off again with David.
Yeah, when he pushed Gail down the stairs.
She didn't react well to that.
No, so she dumped him after that. And then when they were back again together, he got quite jealous and he was spying on her emails because he thought that she was seeing an old boyfriend behind his back. But they are on again, off again. And in 2009... she refused to lie in court from him after he'd punched Gary. He was arrested, and he wanted Tina to say that Gary had thrown the first punch.
Right.
And she refused to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Gary had been flirting with Tina. Mm. So, Izzy, better watch out.
She was also going out with Jason around that time. And they started the property developing together or buying places to do
up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, around about that time as well, Joe, Tina's dad, started getting addicted to painkillers. He'd had a back injury from his
shift
around. Mm. Do you remember when Joe raided the medical centre?
Yes.
And he was pulling out all the cupboards and everything. That was quite cool. That was dramatic. David was hiding his painkillers back at home as well, because David was trying to persuade Joe to get Tina to go back with him, but he couldn't. So David started
blackmailing him.
Yeah, he was blackmailing her. Yeah. In 2009, at Christmas, that was when Nick was brought back in as this mysterious man in the bar, and as viewers we weren't supposed to know who it was because of the new actor obviously playing
bizarre.
Him. He had a snog with Nick, drama, the brother of David, and then not long after that, early 2010, was when Joe died. They went off to the, do you remember?
Yeah, they went off
to the
Gale.
Lake District. Joe was going to fake his own death, wasn't he?
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, he ended up killing himself, knocking himself out into the Lake Windermere.
Would you say that was a very successful attempt, or?
Yeah, but in the end, Tina started blaming Gail for, she thought that Gail had murdered her, and Gail and Tina had been on fairly good terms up until then, but Tina has totally hated Gail, despised her after that.
Yeah.
Later on in the year, that's when, She not long after that, she became housebound. Do you remember when she locked herself up in the flat for weeks?
Yeah.
And nobody knew where she was. She thought she was away, but Graham got a bit closer to her, because he was lovely.
He was
the old
up
Graham,
and bringing her food and trying to make her look after herself.
Yeah.
And everything.
And then they got closer together and started seeing each other. David obviously didn't like this.
What? David didn't appreciate.
Getting together with her. So David then tried to get back with Tina. He's kind of, do you remember, he pinned her down onto the sofa. She accused him of attempting to rape her. Do you remember that?
I don't know why Izzy thinks she's unstable. These things seem perfectly reasonable.
2011 was the storyline with Sheen, Tina's friend, who needed to marry Graham so that she wouldn't get deported. That storyline isn't seen as one of the best storylines by fans, I remember.
So Graham ends up going off with her.
Yeah, Graham got married to her, but oops, it turns out that they actually did quite like each other. And
that was nice.
Yeah, I really like Graham. I'm really disappointed that he didn't stay. He was really
Graham's
funny.
Graham's of the same stable as Chesney and Kirk and Tyrone.
Lovable, funny,
simple-minded, yeah, little chappies.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to give him a hug.
Yeah. So Tina was single again. She had a few dates with Tommy, Dr. Matt. Do you remember when she was? She sort of felt
she wasn't good enough for Dr.
That was funny for Gemma and I watching it, though, because there was the scene where Tina went to the bistro with Matt and all his other doctor mates, and we've got a friend who's a doctor, and it's quite funny when we're around with his friends and they're all talking medicine bits, and
we
go totally over our heads.
They're talking about.
So we did feel for Tina a little bit there. But since then, she's been seeing Tommy and...
Look how well that's gone for her.
Yeah, and we're in the position that she's in now. So
she's an award-studded young actress.
She is. I've got a list of some of the awards that she's won. Right back when she came in, she got a couple of Best Newcomer Awards at the British Soap Awards, at the TV Quick, TV Choice Awards. She was Best Newcomer as well. And since then...
She's moved into the realm of Sexiest Female, and she won the award for Sexiest Female in 2009 from the British Soap Awards and Inside Soap Awards, 2010 from the British Soap Awards, 2011 from the British Soap Awards and the Inside Soap Awards, and 2012 from the British Soap Awards.
Yeah, good-looking lady.
But she's also moved into the realm of being an actress now, because she's won Best Soap Actress at the TV Choice Awards.
Yeah, that was just this past week. I think that must have meant quite a lot to her, because it's all very well getting an award for being sexy, but if you're an actress and you want to be recognised for how you act and not how you look.
Yes. Yeah, these Sexiest Female Awards are a bit patronising.
A bit meaningless, aren't they?
Patronising is the word that I would use. So she's finally being... They're finally noticing that she's flapping her lips around and noises are coming out of them. She's not just standing there and looking pretty. So hopefully that will be positive reinforcement for the script writers to give her more storylines that will challenge her.
I have to say, I used to like Tina more than I do at the moment. I thought she was really good when she was David. I thought they worked well with David. That was a great storylines. I thought Joe was really interesting. But since she's started dating Tommy, I've not found her that interesting. I just don't like Tommy, really.
Well, it's quite morbid, isn't it? They're so miserable all the time. They're never happy.
No.
And they're both too good looking. I just find them a bit dull. But I tell you one thing, if I could change one thing about Tina, I'd get rid of those bloody earrings. I hate those hoop earrings. They do make her look very chubby.
Yeah.
If I was Izzy, I would definitely insist upon the removal of those earrings, just in case it affects my unborn child.
Right. That'll do for character profile. Let's get onto the cabin for some news. So the first piece of news this week, we've kind of already touched on. It was the TV Choice Awards last weekend, to Michelle Keegan and the best soap actress, so great. What, another award for Corrie? EastEnders won best soap awards there. Emmerdale won an award for an outstanding contribution. It's their 25th anniversary this year. It's 40th. Yeah, EastEnders is the one that's around 25. Well, Emmerdale's been going on for yonks. Shane Ritchie got the best soap actor.
Can I give the quote that Michelle Keegan gave?
Yeah.
I'm not sexy.
Yeah, she's saying she's not sexy. She, all these sexiest female awards, she doesn't really understand why she's getting them. I think she's happy that she's finally got one for being an actress.
Yeah.
Other news this week, there's a couple of opportunities for fans to meet some of the Corrie stars. If you should wish to meet Craig Charles.
Who wouldn't want to meet Craig Charles?
I've already met him twice.
Well.
Because I like Red Dwarf and he was in that. I met him
Red Dwarf is
20 years ago almost, I met him.
Okay.
I was 12 and I was really scared about meeting him, and it was a book signing. I put the book down on the desk with a totally straight face, and he said, oh, here's a serious one. So Craig Charles knows me as a serious one. Great. He's anyway, you can meet him again. Maybe I'll have another chance at the Bond Hotel in Blackpool on Monday the 12th to the Friday the 16th of November 2012. That's a hotel that runs regular Corrie theme weeks. You can visit www.bondhotel.co.uk more info.
I want to go to this. I want to go to one of these Corrie theme weeks.
It sounds quite fun.
I love things like that.
We could promote the podcast there. You can also meet Jenny McAlpine, who plays Fizz, on September the 29th at the Park Inn by Radisson in Manchester between noon and 4 p.m.
A ladies' lunch.
Yeah.
£35. Raising money for mood swings.
Yeah, so that's a charity for mood swings.
You can visit www.justgiving.com/moodswings-ladieslunch.
And finally, same as last week, we'll end the news section with a quick review of the Corrie Years episode 2, which was on this week. Theme this week was famous feuds.
Yep.
I was very pleased that Eileen and Gail's
They had to be in it.
They were rolling around on the street in their dressing gowns.
There were two interesting facts I took away from the conversation about this. Was one that Gail had her, the actress who played Gail, had to have her dressing gown stitched up so they wouldn't fling open. And when they were acting the scene where she was smashing Eileen's head against the cobbles, she held on to the actress's hair, and the actress was actually smacking her head against the cobbles, which is really funny.
How you do it? Soap fights.
So if you want to have a soap fight at home, I recommend you get a sewing kit to sew up your dressing gown and smash your own head into the floor.
Yeah. All the other feuds mentioned in the episode were Des Barnes and the Wiltons. I didn't really like Des Barnes, and that was before you started to watch it anyway.
Before my time.
It was nice to see Derek and Mavis on it. They were great. Gail and Ivy. Gail's obviously one for feuds, so she was mentioned twice in there.
She's a little bulldog, isn't she?
Yeah.
She has her teeth and
so that was all to do with Ivy not really liking her son's choice in a bride, and all the fallout from that. So that was a bit of a nostalgia trip as well. Cilla and Janice fighting over heartthrob Les, he was described as.
Yep.
Which I've never seen him. Wouldn't be my first choice of words for him. And Cilla was described as glamorous.
Yeah, well, this is the same thing that happened with Steve. recently with Tracy and Michelle fighting over him.
Yeah. And then, of course, they couldn't have an episode on feuds without Mike and Ken.
Mike and Ken.
Yeah, they showed Deirdre getting pushed up against the door.
We've got to show that clip every time. They have a documentary about Coronation Street, really. I think it's in the contract. A
couple of punches, Ken going into the factory punching Mike, a classic moment. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Mike dying. Poor Mike.
Poor Mike.
Factory steps after he had his Alzheimer's. That was really sad. And when Mike's sort of final words were, "Deirdre's mine, she loves me."
Oh, yeah.
Brought a tear to my eye. Next week, away from the cobbles is the theme, so it's, I think, going to talk about location shoots, times when they've been away from Weatherfield. Lots of trips to Blackpool are going to be in there.
You've never been to Blackpool?
No, I haven't.
We've got to go to Blackpool.
I feel like I have. The amount that they go on about it in Coronation Street, I hope they showed Tyrone and Maria proposing at the Blackpool Tower. That's another one of my memorable scenes. I think it's going to be mostly about some of the older trips to Blackpool, sort of back in the 70s or whenever it was they went there.
Rita's husband get run over by a tram.
Yeah, Alan Bradley, lots of Blackpool. They're going to mention Gail and Joe's unfortunate trip to the Lake District, which we've talked about earlier.
Yep.
I wouldn't really highlight that in a way from the cobbles, it's not that interesting, but that's going to be on it. It's going to have Steve and Eileen in Malta. Do you remember that a few years ago? Steve ended up... ending up in bed with someone or fancying someone in the bar that was a transvestite. Or
that old chestnut.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit offensive now to have storylines like that. But to be honest, none of this is exciting me.
No, I don't think it's going to be that great an episode. There was another storyline that I hope that they're going to show. Oh, Roy and Hayley in Amsterdam. I wanted to show that was like that absolute.
Yes.
Well, I loved that. Really, really loved it. I hope they showed that.
They're not going to show any of the Corrie specials, I presume. The ones that are only released on DVD.
Like Corrie Does Romania.
We bought Corrie Does Romania from the DVD shop secondhand the other day. How much was it? Oh,
a couple of pounds. Was it worth it? Didn't really get our money's worth. It wasn't that great.
We only wanted it to watch Becky again. Because Becky's my all-time favourite Coronation Street character.
She hadn't known that.
Yes, she
and she was only in half the thing, wasn't she?
Yeah, she didn't arrive until halfway through.
No. Watch it if you find it for cheap, but it's not.
You can have our copy if you like. The first person to write in gets our copy.
You can actually, you can have it. Send us an email. We still haven't had any emails. You can have our copy of Corrie Goes to Romania. Right, speaking of feedback, let's do the feedback section. Okay, really quickly, because we've just seen the time and realised how long we've been on for today.
Okay, we'll stop talking about that.
Okay.
So, Tavor from Corrie Blog.
Yeah, who wrote to us last week, has commented again. Yeah, we called her a bloke,
we're sorry. She said, because I made a comment about I didn't understand why Gloria was going on about bust size of Stella. She said, I think the remark about Stella's bust size implied that she has smaller breasts, so she has to work harder to keep a man. And I really wish Stella had rubbed Sunita's nose in the fact that Carl keeps wanting to come back. Me too, yes. And she also had a note on Beverly Callard that we were talking about.
Yeah, Liz was our character profile last week.
And the reason why she left, she's been having a lot of health issues, mainly with depression, quite severe at times. And I think that's part of the reason she left the show this last time. I think, though, I don't know for sure, that she might have been finding the schedule difficult and needed the break. She's also been struggling with the bankruptcy of her husband. So that's a sad reason to leave, but understandable.
Yeah, we've also had a couple of tweets this week, including one from Tracy Lansky. Says, thanks for letting me know about your broadcast. I've been enjoying them all the way from Canada.
Hello, Canada!
Another tweet from Canada.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we want to get some tweets from some UK people as well. Or from Germany or
anywhere,
Russia or
anywhere.
Whatever else you're listening to here.
Or you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com, and the web address for the podcast is www.conversationstreet.podbean.com. So give us an iTunes review.
Yeah, please. Or you can join us on Twitter as well. Not Twitter, I've said that. Facebook. Yeah, we've got a couple of followers on Facebook. Brilliant. And we'll announce on Facebook and Twitter when the new episodes are out as well.
Yes.
So that's it. Normal amount of episodes next week, so shorter podcast, definitely.
Yes.
We hope you don't mind the longer one. We enjoy doing them.
Yes.
It takes me forever to edit them. Right. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The music for this podcast came from podcastthemes.com.